56 mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back here, 9:03 the time in the Family Leisure Studios. Eli and Jay with you today. No Greg. Family Leisure, where family and fun come together. Check them out, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Going to be a pleasant day, around temperature-wise, around 75 degrees. It looks like we are going to see some rain, possibly some thunderstorms today and tonight as well. But it does look like it's going to be a pretty good weekend. There is about a 20% chance of rain Saturday and Sunday, but otherwise, it looks like it's going to be pretty nice with temperatures around the 80 mark. Coming up later in the hour, we'll talk NFL draft with our buddy Joe DeLeon, who joins us each and every Friday. But right now, I'm happy to be joined by our next guest because I'm a big fan of hers and her content from social media, various media platforms that she has appeared on, that I have seen her work. I've always known her just as Kelly in Vegas. Quite frankly, I didn't even know she had a last name. I had no idea she actually had a last name. I thought her last name was in Vegas.
Well, even when she called us, she said, "Hey, this is Kelly."
I thought her last name was in Vegas, but that's what you can follow her on Twitter and social media. Kelly in Vegas. She's the owner of wagertalk.com. She has a lot of great gambling content, and she joins us now on the program. Kelly, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning. That is really funny because when I do have to use my last name in certain media things, I'm like, who's that? I've been Kelly in Vegas. People put me in their phone as Kelly in Vegas. It's just it's been a moniker for so long now.
It is funny. It's like, I was like, oh, she does have a last name. Okay, now I know it's Kelly Stewart. Would have never guessed that in a million years. I was like, have I ever seen that like anywhere or heard that? I'm like, no, I don't believe anytime I've ever seen her anywhere, it's always just said the Kelly in Vegas. We're going to talk with Kelly about some gambling stuff. A great game that I actually just discovered recently on Splash Sports that is a fun little way to do a little gambling and have a little fun and possibly make some money as well. But Kelly, first of all, I got to start with you. How did you end up getting into the gambling world and out in Vegas? You're from Kansas. You go to Kansas State. How do you end up in Las Vegas?
You know, I graduated college during the recession, and it was kind of that weird time of, okay, I was working at a bar in Aggieville, which is like Kansas State's bar district. I was making better money than all my friends who were, you know, had odd jobs like at coffee shops and things like that. And I'm applying for jobs, and then they're saying, hey, we're doing a hiring freeze and so forth. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I graduate in May, and on spring break, I was with my girlfriend, Lindsay. She goes, hey, I'm going to move to Vegas. And I said, there is no way my dad is going to let me move to Las Vegas and work at a nightclub after I just spent 4.5 years in college. And he said, no, go ahead, kid. Go have a good time. And went out to Vegas. And I've always kind of been a gambler. But I met up with some people out there that were really into sports gambling. And I've always been a huge sports fan. And it just kind of felt really natural. And getting to partner up with some people that I would now consider mentors was obviously a very good thing for me in my career.
Well, that's really cool. That's a tough conversation to have with dad. You're like, so here's my plan. Here's my plan when I get out of college. I'm just going to go to Vegas. We're going to figure it out.
Well, and think about it. Let's just be honest. Your daughter wants to go to Las Vegas to make a lot of money. You know, there's some things that probably pop into some guys' heads that are like, wait, nightclub? Are we sure that's where you're going to be?
How hard was it for you to really break into the industry as a woman?
I get this question a lot, and I think it's a really interesting one. I started posting my picks in 2009 on Twitter. And then when I hit the three-team money line parlay there in 2012, everybody really just embraced me. I mean, my buddy Matt was working at the newspaper and was like, gives me a call, says, hey, I want to write an article on you. You get the questions of, okay, who taught you this stuff? Was it your dad? Was it your brother? Do you have a boyfriend who gives you picks? But outside of that, everybody was really welcoming. I mean, you get a lot of vitriol, a lot of hate on social media from, I would just say, anonymous accounts or semi-anonymous accounts. But in real life, everybody's always been pretty wonderful to me.
Are you like most people that football is the favorite sport to bet on?
Oh, by far. Gosh, I am such a huge college football fan, just in general. I am one of those people that if you said, hey, it's, I got free tickets to a game. Do you want to go? You know, yes. The answer is always yes. I want to be there. I want to experience it. The atmosphere is by far my favorite thing. It just also so happens to be that we get a lot of underdogs that went outright. And that's my favorite thing about college football. And so that worked out really well from the gambling side of things. The NFL, I like. I don't love it as much as college football. I do feel like it's not really the opportunistic type of stuff because of the parity, right? We know teams 1 through 32. There are amazing college athletes on every single one of those teams, right? And so we're not expecting these blowouts or we're not expecting these crazy underdog wins. And so it's not as fun for me, but I do still think there's some value. And I do still enjoy going to the games and watching it, you know, Sunday night, Monday night football.
What is what's your favorite college football atmosphere, stadium you've ever been to?
Ooh, man, that's a really good question. I will say this. I live in Florida now, and I thought the Swamp would be a lot cooler than it was. Granted, they did lose to USF, so in fairness, maybe it wasn't the best game to go to. I took my dad, and I had USF, just not on the money line. And they did not like me very early, I'll say that much. I still do love going back home to Manhattan, Kansas. Obviously, it's not the best atmosphere, but I would definitely put it in my top 10. That's a really tough question. I guess I've never really sat down and thought about, like, wow, that's the best college atmosphere I've ever been to. The Big House was great.
Yeah,
I did enjoy going to Ann Arbor. I think it's a cool, really, really cool college town. Man, I've got to get to some more SEC games. I'll admit that. Living in the South now, I should spend some more time doing that, but I've been so busy career-wise, it's kind of hard to get away sometimes on Saturdays.
Yeah, I was going to say, with us here in the SEC country, that's, I didn't know for sure how many of the SEC ones you had been to, but yeah, that's there certainly are some great ones around the SEC. So being such a college football fan, do you do any betting on the draft last night and over the next couple of days?
So I didn't, but Splash had put up a really fun mock draft simulator. They were giving away $10,000, and I said, okay, I'm gonna throw my hat in the ring, and then it started off great, right? Fernando Mendoza, easy peasy, right?
Yes.
And then kind of the wheels started to fall off for me there, especially with some of the trades. But there were no bets that I made. I had some really sharp groups. Say Avril Reese was going to go to the Jets. And then he didn't.
Yes.
And I thought, oh boy, that was a really interesting one. I know guys that laid, you know, minus 270 on him. He got all the way up as to minus 1500 to go to the Jets.
Wow.
And then they passed on him. I could not believe he was still available at 5 for the Giants. I mean, this guy is just an absolute monster. He is going to be huge for the Giants. I think it's going to really help their defense step up. I expect him to be that type of guy that puts an immense amount of pressure on the quarterback. And we know how good his special play is. I mean, he is so fast. Again, I'm still scratching my head at the Jets, but that's what the Jets do, right?
Well, I had mentioned earlier that I've got a lot of Titans fans, friends, and in a group chat last night when the Titans took Carnell Tate and passed on Reese, they were beside themselves. They were losing their minds, as a matter of fact, that the Titans would go with Carnell Tate instead of Arvell Reese. We are talking to Kelly Stewart. You may know her as Kelly in Vegas, owner of WagerTalk.com, sports gambling expert. You mentioned Splash Sports, and it's funny because I do a couple of pools, like free pools. We got a gambling pool or a golf league that we do on Splash Sports, and I did a couple of other things on Splash Sports. And I was one day on the app and I was kind of clicking around and I'm like, what's this Quick Picks thing? And I discovered it, and I've actually had a bunch of fun doing it. Explain what the Quick Picks are on there and how folks can make money doing this.
Yeah, I'm going to back it up really quick because you mentioned something that I love to tell people. Do you guys remember On Your Pool, Office Football Pool?
Yep.
Now everything is on Splash. So as an avid contest player myself, it's nice to have everything in a central location. So, you know, during football season, you've got your Survivor.
Yep.
You've got your Against the Spread. You've got college football, NFL, right? But then they started doing this thing called Quick Picks, and I thought, well, this is weird. I'm not really like a player props kind of girl. Turns out my best friend, Ariel Epstein, the prop queen, as everybody knows her, is really good at it. So look at this. You can work on some different websites. put together an entry, right? Two picks. You can have six picks. Doesn't matter. You put it together. You basically are choosing more or less, right? And the verbiage has to be that way for gaming purposes. I'll just leave it at that. You pick these two players, and then you get matched into other players. So the crazy is to go 5-6 to still win because you're not playing against the house. It's peer-to-peer. So that's the really cool thing about Quick Picks. Last night I went 1-1. I did not win, unfortunately. CJ McCollum had entirely too many points. I was being a contrarian and took his less than 19.5 points. But the other thing that's cool about Splash, available in 40 states, right? Not everybody has live gambling like we do here in Florida. You can do it see. So it's nice for everybody to be able to really get involved.
Yeah, I've been doing it. I just discovered it the other day, and I've been doing it. I love doing it with baseball. I go in there, and like you said, you could do it two picks, three picks, four picks, whatever, and you're put into a group with the same people that, and you can bet. I mean, you can decide how much money you want to put on it, and you're just put in a group of people who have the same amount of picks and the same amount of money, and you're trying to win that group.
That's exactly it. You know, you mentioned, I wasn't going to talk about it, but we should promote Ariel's $35,000 guaranteed history driver. I can't seem to get past day two, but it's a really great 20 bucks. Every single day, hit. We just had a guy live. I saw her this morning. Won 25,000. They decided, hey, up to Annie. They're doing great. Now, some of them are two picks per day. Some are one. But go over there, check it out because it's a really fun way. I'm not a big baseball fan, but it's a really good way to get involved and to give you a reason to want to watch a game. Obviously, for your guy to get a hit that day.
Yeah, it was mine yesterday that I did on the Cubs game was absolutely terrible, but nonetheless, you know, it happens. You have your good ones and you have your bad ones. And yesterday was a terrible one for me. I still haven't won. I've came close, but I haven't won a group yet. I've only done like two or three of them. But yeah, I put like $5 and make like three picks, and it's just fun to do that.
And on Saturday, it's always free. You guys use my coupon code Kelly in Vegas. You get a $5. No sweat on Quick Picks. So basically, you're getting a free $5 entry every single Saturday. If that's the kind of thing you're into and you don't want to put up a bunch of money, every single Saturday, $5 on me.
There you go. That's as easy as it gets right there. Like I said, all you're doing is choosing more or less. There's not a whole lot of thinking here. You just got to decide more or less. It's a very simple thing to decide which way you want to go. Go to splashsports.com. I've got the Splash app on my phone. And again, it's so simple to figure out to get in there. You click on Quick Picks and it couldn't be any easier to make your picks and do it that way. You mentioned the NBA playoffs and with this, because I've always said, betting on the NBA, I think, is impossible. I think if you're going to bet on the NBA, it's better off to try and bet some props and try and figure some things out. And this game makes it easy because that's all it is you're going more or less as far as that is concerned. Do you dabble at all in the NBA betting-wise?
I usually wait till the playoffs. So here's kind of the thing that I always say to other people wanting to learn how to handicap games or wanting to get into the sports betting space. Find your niche, right? College football is my bread and butter. College basketball is my second bread and butter. Then it's NFL. Well, you know, August, September, October, you're a little busy trying to do, you know, those two major sports. And then, now you want to throw in, you know, the MLB postseason. Because, of course, that's the most exciting time to watch baseball. And then, hockey starting, NBA starting. I think a lot of people try to do too much. So I've realized for myself, wait until the NBA playoffs. Because guess what? You're going to get 100% from all those guys. You're not worried about load management.
Yes, exactly.
You're not worried about coaches sitting their key players because they refuse to have load management, but the coach says you're going to do it anyway. So I do like the NBA playoffs. I think that it's always been a really exciting time of year, too, because now that the Masters is over, March Madness is over, there's some downtime, and you can really start to dive into some of these teams.
How much do you get into futures bets?
Almost hardly, never, right? So last year, I did have a futures bet on the Florida Gators to win the national championship. That was nice. This year, I actually was so beside myself with Iowa State. I had thought I got a great number at 30-1 back in December, and then it just didn't move. And they just had an awful performance in March after kind of going on a tear there in the Big 12. I really don't do a lot with futures bets from a Super Bowl perspective either. Just kind of one of those things where I don't find a ton of value. You're placing one wager on 32 teams. I'd rather look deeper and bet these teams week in and week out.
When you're doing your college football betting, which as you said is your bread and butter, what's the main things you're looking at in a matchup to try and to figure out what side you believe is the right side?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I don't heavily weigh things that are too significant. I think that is a problem where people say, oh, this injury, and then all of a sudden the line moves 5 points. Well, yeah, of course, because the bookmakers weighed it the same that you did. So there's not a lot of value in trying to change those types of line moves. I really try to keep it balanced. I'm looking at the absolute utter basics. I'm looking at those key metrics, whether they're defensive, offensive metrics. I'm looking at quarterback play. And I also heavily weigh the coaches. I think that coaching is so much more prolific in college football than any other sport. There are so many coaches that I would call head cases. And we've seen some of those. I joked about Mario Cristobal for years. I was like, don't get Cristobal. You know, me and my buddy Joe, that was our saying on our show. And hey, last year he got to prove me wrong. He was in the national championship. So there were some times where I said, okay, how are they a 21.5-point favorite at Cal? I'm taking the 21.5, and I think Cal can win this game. Now, ultimately, that didn't end up working out for me. When you're picking those huge underdogs, they're not going to win very often. But when they do, it's super sweet. So I'm actually looking for not only the dogs that I think have the best opportunity to cover the spread, but I want them in the mix late in the game. I want an opportunity to be able to cash that money line.
Kelly Stewart joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line, owner of WagerTalk.com, sports gambling expert. You probably know her as Kelly in Vegas on social media and from various media outlets that you may have seen her through the years. And I wish my co-host was here today. He's actually off today, but he loves these parlays. There's these people out there that just can't get enough of the 4-5 team parlay with the huge payday, everything else like that. Obviously, you mentioned you kind of got your big start because of a parlay that you had, but what's your recommendation to people about parlays?
My recommendation is to have a bankroll. Let's just call for basic math purposes, $100. You have $100 for your college football Saturday, your NBA Sunday, whatever it is. You set your best within those parameters. You want to have 10 bets? Okay, great. You can't bet more than $8 on a single game, right? Whereas that way you can get in all of your 10 bets, have a little bit left over at the end of the day. Set a little bit aside for parlays. For example, I bet one parlay a week during college football season, and that is it. I have a dedicated bankroll for those parlays. We've been free rolling since, let's see, 2023. I haven't hit one since. I hit back-to-back ones when I worked at Barstool in 2023, and we haven't hit since. So last two seasons, we've been close, but no dice. But those two have been basically paying for us to keep playing. Because to me, it's not about hitting that big score. It's about winning the games week in and week out. It's about getting those small wins with that money line on the underdog. And then if the parlay hits, all it is the cherry on top. And that's how people should see it. Like six games on the NBA slate, bet all six. Bet them accordingly. Then put a couple two, three team round robins together. No problem. You want to do a 1 6-teamer? I'm all for it. I want everybody to have a good time. You just have to bet it accordingly with your bankroll.
Yeah, that's because that's what I always try and say is like, because there's nothing worse than when you go, man, I knew this team was going to cover or whatever. I loved that team. Well, how much did you win on them? I lost because I had them in all parlays. And I'm like, well, you got to put something on them so that if they win, you cover the other stuff.
Absolutely. And I think that's what the biggest problem with gambling is. And I think that's the argument. I mean, we've seen so many different studies and now just on CNBC, some guy that The Atlantic gave $10,000 to. It's like, well, of course he lost it. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
You've got to set parameters. You've got to have discipline. And this is coming from me, hand up, someone who can tell you from experience. I'm telling you that I have done it to myself. I think you probably have to learn that lesson. But once you get into that rhythm of saying, nope, here's what I'm allowed to bet, here's what I'm going to bet, and then, yeah, this is for fun. This is my fun money pile. You know, no different than if you go to a casino and you want to bet on double zero on roulette.
Exactly. Yes, no question about that. She is Kelly Stewart, Kelly in Vegas. You can find her on social media there, wagertalk.com, the Wager Talk Show, all kinds of gambling content for you folks out there. And I know we got a lot of those listening. You can find her and her opinions out there in various places. And again, go to splashsports.com or just download the Splash app. Check out the Quick Picks game on there. And again, on every Saturday, they can use your code for a free $5 entry?
Yep, absolutely. Code Kelly in Vegas when you guys go over to sign up. SplashSports.com. It's a free $5, you know, free, I'll call it a free roll. Kelly in Vegas free roll.
Can't beat that. Free $5. Again, you can, depending on how many picks and everything else you want to make, you can, the odds go up the more picks you make on here. And again, the other good thing, as you mentioned, when you're in these groups, you don't have to get everything right. You just have to get the most right within your group.
Absolutely. That's my favorite part. There's been so many days, like you said, same thing with a parlay, right? You go 2-1 and you're a loser. Well, you can go 2-1 on Splash Sports and be a winner.
That's right. Yeah, no question about it. She is Kelly Stewart. I've always been a big fan of your work. I'm happy to have you on the program. Thank you so much for taking some time to join us. Really appreciate it. And good luck with your gambling.
Hey, thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too. Kelly Stewart joining us here on the program. She's great. I've always loved watching her. She's been all over. I mean, she's on TV at various things and everything else. And she is on Twitter. I watch her stuff a lot just to get her picks. I think she is very good at what she does. And but no, it's funny because I had gotten contacted about possibly having her on the program. And they talked about this Splash Sports. And I was like, what? This is like freakish because I literally, because my, yeah, as she said, people that used to, if you've done these other like golf pools, other thing on office football, I can't remember, it was like officefootballpool.com or something like that. All these different contests they used to run, our survivor pools, all of these things. Well, they all switched over to Splash Sports. So I was on Splash Sports because of our various pools that I'm in. And one day I just happened to be on the app and I'm like, what is this Quick Picks thing? And I clicked on it, I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. It was just literally like last week that I did this and I started playing some baseball games on there. I make like 3 picks for a game and I bet like $5 just to see. I haven't won one yet, but again, like it's fun because it all literally that you can go on there, pick your game. It'll give you the list of players. You can choose whatever players you want. It might give you hits. It might give you runs. It might whatever, more or less. And again, if you want to make 10 picks, make 10 picks. And if you want to do a $20 bet, do a $20 bet, but you're only competing with the people who make the same amount of picks and have the same amount of money on it. So you're grouped with them. And again, you don't have to get all of them right. If you win your group, you win money. It's pretty cool. And again, you're only competing against those people who've done the same amount of picks and are betting the same amount of money as you are. So it's a fun little game. I just dabble in it here and there. And like I said, my one on the Cubs game yesterday, I made 3 picks. I think I went 0-3. I was terrible. Like, I was awful. One of those. I was like, if I'd have just went, I went more on all 3. Like, if I'd have just went less on all 3, I would have won. but it is
just
a little.
It's a simple game of more or less.
Yeah, that's all it is. Like, so there's not a whole lot of thought you really have to do. Like, you just go boom, boom, boom. And again, you can choose whatever players you want, whatever game you want. You could do it with the NBA. You can do it with Major League Baseball. You can do it with NHL, golf. I've only done baseball so far. I haven't gotten into the other ones. I can't do the NBA, but I haven't even looked at like golf. I love betting on golf. I haven't looked at that as far as golf is concerned, but check it out. Again, splashsports.com or just download the Splash app on your phone. It's very, very easy to play. Folks, whether you're buying, selling, or maybe you just want a fast cash offer for your home, I got the man to call. That's Bubba Sanda for my friend at Emmett Baird Realty. 901-319-0747. If you're looking to buy, he will make sure that he finds that perfect home for you. He's got the connections. He knows the market. He knows everything you need to know to make sure you get that perfect home at the right fair price as well. If you're selling, well, he's going to make sure that they give you maximum exposure, finding you serious buyers, and getting you results. If you want a fast cash offer, if you just need to unload that house, he will buy it as is for cash. That's not a problem. He'll do that if you just need to unload a home. But if you're looking for that top dollar for your home, he's going to make sure he gets you the maximum exposure, finds those buyers for you to make sure you get that top dollar. 901 319-0747. Bubba Sandifer at Emmett Bear Realty. Buying or selling, give my friend Bubba a call. 901-319-0747. Joe DeLeon is up next here on Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, 9:32 here in the Family Leisure Studios. Eli and Jay with you on this Friday. Talking a lot of different things, mainly NFL draft and the NBA playoffs. Talked a little transfer portal as well, NCAA news, and we're going to continue now to talk more NFL draft with our buddy Joe DeLeon.
Time now to talk about the college football weekend and look ahead with Joe DeLeon, co-host of the Ruffino and Joe Show, covering college football and the NFL draft at A to Z Sports. Here's Joe DeLeon with Greg and Eli. Rocks!
He joins us every Friday, joining us at a little later today than a normal on Fridays, but we are pleased to be able to get a chance to talk with him nonetheless. Joe DeLeon joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe DeLeon. Joe, good morning. How was round one for you?
It was pretty good. As you mentioned, we're a little later today because first night of the draft is always a late one. But doing pretty good. Excited to see what's going to happen tonight and tomorrow for the remaining rounds.
But it wasn't as late as normal. I really like the 8 minutes between picks. That thing moved along well last night.
Yeah, no, actually, I got to go to bed at like 1:30, which is normally there's past couple of years, it's been like a 3 a.m. time shutting down. It was a lot quicker and a lot more efficient. I wonder if the teams feel the same way because they're catering to television and fans being able to watch the whole thing in a lot quicker span of time. I did like the efficiency of it, though. It made it a lot easier to just rip through reacting instead of sitting and waiting as much as it used to be in the past.
All right, so what was the biggest surprise pick for you?
There were a couple. The two for me were first Parnell Tate going to the Tennessee Titans because I was a possibility, certainly was a possibility, but because the Titans decided to bypass picking Arvell Reese, it completely shook up the rest of the top 10. Mm-hmm. Sonny Styles inevitably fell to the Commanders, who was a player that had been talked about and rumored for a long time that they were obsessed with him. They really loved him, but it seemed like maybe they'd have to trade up to go and get Sonny Styles. And the Giants had no idea what to do at pick 5 because I don't think that they envisioned a world where Arvell Reese was going to be on the board for them. And I really like Arvell Reese as a player, but his skill set doesn't totally make sense for the way that the current Giants roster construction is. Bit of a separate issue. Carnell Tate, to me, is a good, solid player. He's a really solid wide receiver, too. And I thought that he would be best served if he went to a team that had an established number one player that was like the number one go-to target. We saw this literally this past year with Carnell Tate. The reason why he was so good, a lot of attention with Jeremiah Smith. And then because Carnell Tate had a lot of one-on-one situations, it allowed for him to use his nuanced route running deep over the middle of the field to make really big, impactful plays. I'm a little fearful to see if he's going to be able to have that true number one impact as the main guy in Tennessee. We're going to find out, and we're going to really have him baptized by fire because of that. But the whole bit with this, why that was so shocking, is that you would have thought defensive-minded coach Rob Saleh that they would have gone with Arvell Reese, not to mention the fact that they wanted to get receiver. They could have come back into the second round like they did, come back in from the second round into the first like they did, and have taken somebody like Omar Cooper Jr. or maybe Denzel Boston at the end of the first. The other was Ty Simpson,
The
quarterback from Alabama, going to the Los Angeles Rams. This was something with every bit of coverage throughout the draft cycle leading up. It was almost dismissed entirely as soon as they traded for Trent McDuffie because it came off as, all right, we're committing fully into going all in on this year for 2026. No one thought, even though it made a lot of sense and it was one of the best landing spots, everyone thought that that pick would have been a player that was ready to impact things right now and that they would address the future at a later date. So the Ty Simpson going to the Rams was definitely shocking.
I've talked to you a number of times about Caleb Downs and hoping that he was going to get to the Cowboys. They move up the one spot to get him, which made me absolutely ecstatic that they got him. They later take Malachi Lawrence out of UCF. What's your thoughts on Lawrence?
Yeah, this is a bit here with the Cowboys that was a little bit conflicting because you get Caleb Downs, who you have a lot of issues on defense. You were one of the worst defenses in the NFL, pass defense, run defense, across the board. Caleb Downs is the type of player that is going to completely boost everybody around him as a run defender, in pass coverage. To have somebody who can impact things for you right away, to go with a developmental pass rusher who is a couple years away, when you don't really have a premier high-end rusher on this team, that you didn't really bring anyone in free agency, it's a little bit of a wonky approach. I would have thought that if you were the Cowboys in this situation, because you have this winning window where you're trying to win as firm as possible with Dak already established and all the offensive weapons that you have and a really good offensive line, that you would go with a Zion Young or an Akeem Mezidor, players that are high-floor pass rushers that are ready to step on the field now, that maybe don't have the upside of a Malachi Lawrence, but would be ready to go immediately and be solid players as rookies. So I like the idea of Lawrence. He's one of my favorite players. He's higher on him than most. But I would have much rather have seen him on a team that maybe had a good pass rush room, had some older players, and then allow for him to come along behind somebody because he's going to take a little bit of time to grow.
Yeah, when it got to them at 20, when they was coming up at 20, I was hoping they were going to get Mezidor. I can't fault the trade down to get 2 fourth-round picks and end up so. But yeah, I was hoping if they would have came out with Downs and Mezidor, I would have been absolutely through the roof happy as far as that is concerned. You mentioned at the end of that first round, the Titans coming back in there. They get Kedrick Falk out of Auburn. Do you like him?
He's a good player, and I think that it was a good approach to know that you still needed to address edge and to trade back in and to not mess around with him still being on the board for them at the beginning of the second round. There was a strong chance that some of those teams picking at the back end of the first or somebody could have traded up to go and get him because he fell, I think, further than expected. But my thing with Kedrick Falk is that he was incredibly raw this year. I think it's a hair unclear on what role he's going to be playing because he was bounced in his career. He's bounced between being leaner and a more effective pass rusher like he was in 2024. This past year, he was really heavy and his production completely fell off a cliff. He's just got a lot of work that needs to happen in order for him to get to his potential. But the reason why I don't like this is what I brought up earlier is you had a chance to take one of the premier elite players in this class with Arvell Reese, and you could have gotten a different receiver that probably would have a slightly lower impact than Carnell Tate and has a slightly lower ceiling than Carnell Tate, but isn't that far off in Carnell Tate. And what I kind of mean by this is that the gap between Arvell Reese as a prospect and Kedrick Falk is gigantic. The gap between Carnell Tate and Omar Cooper Jr. is far smaller than that between Reese and Falk. So it's a solid selection. It's addressing a need, but I'm a little fearful that he's going to take some time to come along and that they could be regretting passing up on a guy as gifted as Reese or even Sonny Styles.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier too. Like if you felt the need to trade back in to get an edge, then I would have 100% taken Arvell Reese and worried about the receiver later on. That seems to be the much better approach to that. And I've got some Titans friends that lost their mind last night when they drafted Carnell Tate. They did not understand that at all. Joe DeLeon joining us here on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line as he does each and every Friday. So from last night, which team do you think had the best night?
I would go with I've got two teams that I've brought up with this. I think that the Chiefs had a very underrated night. I think some people are complaining about how they traded up for Mansoor Delane. I'm sure this was justified. I'm sure that there was reasoning to go off of it, that they thought somebody else would have traded up and selected him ahead of him. You don't just make a trade like that, especially with a front office as good as Kansas City's, unless you feel that you're going to miss out on a guy. Mansoor Delane just felt like Kansas City Chief. He feels perfect in that, in Spagnuolo's defense. He's super sticky in coverage, but he's also super versatile. He played a bunch of different roles in his career before when he was at Virginia Tech, played some safety. I don't think that's going to be his role with the Chiefs, but it just goes to show the type of football player he is, that you can ask him to do anything and he's going to pick it up and he's going to play it at a high level. But Peter Woods, the defensive tackle from Clemson, was a prospect that I was really low on. And the one caveat I had with him is that he has a really high ceiling. His floor is a lot lower than everybody was expecting coming into this college football season. He disappeared a lot on film. But the right team was going to activate him and could potentially get that ceiling out of him. And the Chiefs are that team. If he had gone elsewhere with inconsistency for the development of their draft picks, especially defensive linemen, I would have felt differently about this. But for the Chiefs to take that swing and to say, you know, we've already got our big bodies. We need a butt kicker that is going to be a gap shooter. And he'll be freed up because Chris Jones already takes up so much attention. We're going to be absolutely havoc creating in the interior. This or the Texans would have been a perfect landing spot for him. And then the other I got to bring up, the Ravens just chill every single draft. They kind of just hang out. They vibe and they sit there. And we're all sitting here talking about and yelling about, like, oh, such player. And, like, why would they do this? And the Ravens always sit patiently and then let the player that is perfect for them fall right into their lap. And Vega Ione is that perfect player. I don't know how he wasn't more highly sought after in this draft by more teams. His floor is so high. He is so reliable. He's so steady. I see a long, consistent career. And you need to protect Lamar Jackson. If there's a dude that I can trust the most out of any of these offensive line prospects, it is Vega Ione. And I believe that the Ravens made the right pick going and grabbing him.
We've talked a lot leading up to this about Jermaine McCoy. He falls out of the first round. Do you think it's just that knee, the medicals that caused him to fall?
Yeah, I would imagine that that's the case. And I'm actually a hair shocked by this because he tested really well at his pro day. And that kind of calmed those concerns that his recovery was going poorly. But then that later report comes out about him potentially needing another procedure. I'm very interested to see how much further he falls. And he could end up being a gigantic steal for a team. Yeah. But it might have been in his best interest if he had returned to school and had finished his recovery and then made the jump to the NFL the following year, because he absolutely would have been good enough to be a top 10 pick. I imagine that the medicals is probably the cause here.
Who is the next quarterback off the board, and when does it happen?
I'm really unsure at the current moment, because now that Simpson's gone, any team that might want to take a swing at a quarterback or is looking for a depth piece is now under the gun. I think that Garrett Nussmeier is probably going to be that next guy, because, again, Simpson's not there. There's plenty of teams that might be looking for a higher impact backup, like a guy who's got some tools to maybe become a starter. And that's exactly what Garrett Nussmeier is. At the very least, you're getting a really, really good backup out of Garrett Nussmeier. I kind of wonder if maybe that's a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who they already are assumed to be bringing back Aaron Rodgers. And if you take Nussmeier, he can start maybe next year for you if Rodgers packs it up. And if you don't like what you have from Nussmeier, you try to draft a quarterback next year and you have a really good backup for the long term. Outside of that, though, I'm interested to see if maybe Kalen Green or Drew Aller ends up being the next guy, like maybe in the third round, for a team like maybe the Jets decide to take a swing, maybe the Cardinals decide to take a swing. We'll have to see what goes down.
Do you, our local guy here, Jake Golday, do you expect him to go second round?
Yeah, I think that Golday's been a guy who's tested really well and has done really well throughout this process. He has been a guy that would make a lot of sense to go somewhere in the second or the third round. I'd be really shocked if he's not, or if he's still on the board at the end of day two, just because the linebacker class is going to start to thin out. And I think that there's going to be a run at some point. We didn't get very many linebackers.
Yeah.
there was a possibility, after all those dudes went in the very beginning, there was a possibility that we could see a C.J. Allen or a Jacob Rodriguez go at the end of the first round. But I think that once C.J. Allen's gone and off the board, there's going to be a pretty quick run that goes down.
He is Joe DeLeon. He joins us each and every Friday. We certainly appreciate it, as always, Joe. And next week we'll put a complete wrap on the draft, and we'll see what happens after we see what happens in the next couple of days. Appreciate your time, as always. Enjoy the next couple of days of the draft.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Joe DeLeon joining us here on the program. Of course, tonight over at East Coast Wings, they'll have the draft on. They'll have the draft on. They'll have NBA playoffs on. They'll have Major League Baseball on. They'll always have all the action on over at East Coast Wings and Grill. And you could go over there, watch the games, watch the action, enjoy some great food, as always, from their wings to all kinds of other things on that menu. I talk about the Philly cheesesteak flatbread, which is my favorite thing on the menu, actually. But the wings are great. I have the wings quite often, and they've got plenty of different flavors, and I like to try a lot of them. They've got 60 flavors to choose from, 7 different heat indexes as well. It's all fresh, never frozen food over there as well, so it tastes good. And those wings, they're big wings. They're not those tiny little ones that you get at some places. That's what you get at East Coast Wings and Grill. Out in Bartlett, off Highway 64, Kate Hyde Boulevard. That's the street that runs right between the Lowe's and the Walmart there off Highway 64 at Wolf Chase. And that's where you'll find East Coast Wings and Grill. Back to put a wrap on the week right after this. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Old Dominic Distillery is Portland.
Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Just heard that promo for Rebel Yell Hotline. Big weekend down in Oxford. It's a double-decker weekend down there. But the baseball, number 5, I think Georgia's ranked 5th right now. Georgia is in town to battle the Rebels this weekend. I've got tickets for all 3 games. If anybody wants to head down to Oxford to see some really good college baseball with Ole Miss taking on Georgia. 6 o'clock tonight, 1 o'clock tomorrow, 1:30 on Sunday. If you want to call in, let Jay know how many tickets you want to whatever game. I've got up to 6 tickets for each of those games that I'll give away. You don't have to worry about coming to pick them up. We'll send those tickets to you. If you want to head down to Oxford and check out some of that baseball action this weekend. Of course, again, the NFL draft continues tonight with rounds 2 and 3. Rounds 4 through 7 will be tomorrow. The NBA playoffs continue hot and heavy through the weekend. Tonight, Jay, Celtics at 76ers. The Celtics bounce back and win on the road.
They make shots tonight. They go up 2-1.
Lakers and Rockets. I mentioned earlier, Rockets an 8.5-point favorite. I don't get that at all. Austin Reeves upgraded to questionable for the Lakers. Do the Rockets get a win?
They have to get a win or else it's doomsday.
And then the Spurs, again, Wembanyama listed as questionable. Spurs at Blazers.
With or without Wemby, 2-1 Spurs.
All right. So there you go. That's Jay's picks as far as that is concerned. You've got 4 games tomorrow, and then you've got, I think, 4 more on Sunday. Yeah, 4 more on Sunday as well. A couple of injury updates. I mentioned Wemby, questionable with that concussion for tonight's game. We'll see if he's able to return. If not, does he return on Sunday? Austin Reeves upgraded to questionable for tonight. Kevin Durant also questionable for that game. But you have to believe Durant's going to play with them down 0-2. Jalen Williams had the hamstring injury the other night for Oklahoma City. Week to week, he's listed at. Which if he's reevaluate, as I said, in a week, that means he's out for games 3, 4, and in all likelihood 5 for sure in this series. Now, again, I don't think Oklahoma City needs him to win this series by any means, but week to week, that's not what you want to hear from one of your best players in the playoffs.
No, it's not. And just got to make the adjustments and get it. Just let it fly. Just go play.
But the so we'll see what ends up happening with him. Congratulations to Taylor Jenkins. Again, he is going to be the new coach of the Bucks. This has been talked about for a little over, a week or two now. There are differing reports. Shams said that Giannis had nothing to do with this at all. Didn't has not I think he said he hasn't even communicated with their front office. I don't know how long it was.
I kind of believe that, too.
But then there was another, who was the other one that came back and said that Shams is absolutely incorrect, that Giannis actually met with Taylor Jenkins during this process. They asked Giannis to, I don't know what's true or not. We'll see what does this mean as far as keeping Giannis. Who knows? But Taylor Jenkins, of course, was an assistant with the Bucks before he got the job with the Grizzlies. He now goes to the Bucks as their head coach. So congratulations to him as far as that is concerned. That's great for him. Great news for him. And we mentioned it earlier. Devin Booker did get fined $35,000, but also got his technical rescinded. The thing that got him fined $35,000 because he was mad about it, that is also rescinded because, as they said, you are correct, but that doesn't mean you can yell at our officials about it. And again, we talked about this to start the show today, but the Mike Vrabel, Diana Rossini thing, there were pictures that came out of them like kissing at a New York bar on March 11, 2020, the night the world shut down. And then in the Beau Rivage Casino down in Biloxi in January of 2024, there they were gambling together.
They basically been on a creep tour it's like, all over America.
The thing is, like, the people who have these pictures, like, you've been saving these pictures on your phone this whole time. And, like, or did you, like, it's like weird to me that, like suddenly these pictures are appearing. It's like, what were you doing with these pictures this whole time? But nonetheless, yeah, the hits keep on coming for Mike Vrabel and Diana Rossini. And again, Vrabel will not be with the Patriots tomorrow. He'll be there tonight, but he's not going to be with them tomorrow for the draft. And he's going to go get his counseling. And Diana Rossini, well, she's pretty much in hiding at this point.
Good move on her part. Stay away. You don't want no more photos.
Yeah, because she was the one that was like, when it first came out, was like, this is nothing
complete
whatsoever.
Denial.
Now right. It's like, yeah, clearly something. Clearly something there. You've been hanging out an awful lot with Mike Vrabel for it to be nothing. That is for sure. So we'll see where the next pictures come from, where their world tour has taken them through the years. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you to John Varlis, to Kelly Stewart, Kelly in Vegas, and Joe DeLeon for joining us on the program. Of course, we will be back Monday morning recapping the NFL draft, recapping the weekend as far as the NBA playoffs. Who knows? Maybe the Tigers will get a commitment or two over the weekend. We'll see about that as well. Coming up next, it is Wolo and Friends. Wolo not in today, but Wolo and Friends coming up next here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. For Jay Ham, I'm Eli Savoy. Enjoy the rest of the draft. Enjoy the playoffs. Have yourselves a great weekend. We'll talk to you again Monday morning here on Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.